Let's turn over to Mark 11. So we'll get over to James, but let's turn over to Mark 11 first. Mark 11. And we're going to look at a little bit there. This message title is called Faith That Acts. And if things are not working in your life, I will say it this way, if things are not working, if there's an area that's not working, it's not God's fault. You have to come to that bottom line point that if something's not working, it's not God's fault. He says, I change not. So who has to change? We have to change. We've got to change our thinking. We have to change our approach. And we need to get his understanding when things don't work or we need some understanding in a particular area, how to do something. So Romans 1:17, it says, the just, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. The faith, as it is written, the just, that's us, shall live by faith. So everything we do, it's going to have to be done by faith. Now, that's a big subject. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So the just are going to have to live by faith. Now, let me ask this question. If everyone took a panoramic view of church, would you agree that a lot of the church is not living by faith? They're basically living, they've been taught, I'll say it that way, the church has been taught to plead with God or beg God, please help me. God, I'm hurting. Please help me. Heal my body. That's begging. That's pleading with God. That's not faith. And so we've got to understand that if we're going to receive anything from God, it's going to have to be done in faith. Now, faith, again, this is basic things, but Smith Wigglesworth, many, many years ago, used to say that faith begins where the will of God is known. So faith is going to come by how? Knowing what the will of God is, which is the Word of God. So when we know this, then faith comes. I begin to know what God has done for me. What, as Brother Hagin used to say, take all of the in him, Christ in him scriptures, and you'll know who you've become in Christ, what's available to you through Christ. What does the scripture say in Romans? That we have access to this grace, or grace has been bestowed on us. We have access to it through faith. So a lot of the graces that are afforded to us are not being received because it's not being done in faith. So we're not accessing the grace for healing because, why? It's not being done in faith. We're not accessing grace for peace because it's not being done in faith. We're begging God. We're pleading with God to help me. He said, I've already helped you in Christ. Everything you need is in Christ. You just need to know what it is and believe it and receive it. So that's where we are. We're not begging. You know, when we think about this in our daily lives, you don't need to beg your boss for a raise. You don't need to beg. Preachers and ministers don't need to beg for money. Children, I'll just say it this way, don't take it the wrong way, but children don't need to beg their parents for what they need. They need to be taught how to believe God for things in faith. Same thing. Husbands and wives don't need to beg each other for stuff. they need to learn how to believe God for what God has promised. So that's the thing that we've got to come to really understand, that we're not here to, it's not in faith when we plead with God to give us something. It's not faith, and it's not pleasing, and it won't get anything other than get you frustrated. And that's all it will do. And faith will work if it's worked properly. Now, you know, let's think about this. Did Jesus use faith when he was here on this earth? Everything he did was in faith. Now, some folks will say, and probably more than you'd like to think, will say, well, that was Jesus. Anybody ever heard people say that? Well, that was Jesus. Jesus did that. That was Jesus. And they make it sound very spiritual. That was Jesus. Like that's supposed to mean something. But Jesus was a man. He was God. He is God. And he shall be, and always is God. But he did not operate when he walked this earth. He did not operate as God. He operated as a man. And he came to show us how we can operate. And that's the key. And you can look at scriptures. I mean, you can write them down. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, well, let me read it out of the Amplified. It helps a little bit. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, listen to this, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Now I'm reading from the Amplified. Listen to verse 7. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant or slave, in that he became like men and was born of a human being. So he was God, but he stripped himself and laid aside all of his godly privileges as God. And he walked this earth as a man. Now that's exciting to me, because now that paints a whole, every story that you read, he did it as a man. Every story. When he healed the sick, he did it as a man. When he cursed the fig tree, he did it as a man. When he spoke to the winds, he did it as a man. When he walked on the water, he did it as a man. And their stories, I mean, I don't have them in front of me, but I remember when Pastor Clinton was alive, there were stories that came out of Africa where they were stuck on one side of a river and they couldn't get to the other side, and they had to. They walked across the water. There are stories in Russia where they locked it down and you could not travel. They found them in other cities. So there are stories just like the New Testament in this day and age where people are found in other cities. People are walking on water. People are raising the dead. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. And of course, he said in John, the works that I do, you would do also. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do or shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So Jesus, as we could say, he was a prototype. He was someone who was here to show us how to live by faith. And we can do it. You know, you ever think about that when you say, I just can't believe that? You know that's not true. You choose not to believe it. You really can believe anything you want. Anything. You choose not to believe it. For whatever reason. So when someone says, I just can't believe that, that's not true. That's not true. You chose not to believe it. For whatever reason. So it's just something that we need to keep in mind, that as we look at this lesson, that Jesus set aside his godly privileges and operated as a man. That's exciting to me. That's why when it says, I can do all things, how? Through Christ who strengthens me. So I can do all things. Huh. So I'm not limited, am I? And there's no age limit with that. So if you can take a young child that can believe they can do anything, through Christ, they can. I saw something the other day. It was a well-known commentator or, you know, journalist type of a person. And he's a person of color, and he had another person of color on to interview them, and they were a very young girl, brilliant young girl, and she just said, I believe, didn't say she was a Christian, but I could tell you, you could tell she had to be. The brightness, the not just the intelligence, but the way she talked. But she said, you know, I walked through cancer with a couple of my mother and then my uncle and so forth. And she said, there's got to be a better way. There has to be a better way. That was her. She just said, there's got to be a better way. And she saw the side effects of chemotherapy. And she said, no, there's got to be a better way. Is basically burning up the insides of a person with that method. And so she said that I set my sights on finding a better way. And she did. I mean, a brilliant person. You could tell she had the intellect, she had her words were going in the right direction, and she found. She had been taking some things in college, which I guess piqued her interest, but she found this method through laser treatment. I thought it was brilliant. And she tested it in mice, and within 15 days, she said that they had created a cancer tumor in the mice the size of a pea. And they have it all in microscope. They showed pictures of it. 15 days, it's gone. It's gone. Literally gone. She said, I know there's a better way. And this person, I forget if it was John Hopkins, wherever she was doing this grant work, this person she was working under said to her, you know you will never get any funding if there's no drugs associated with it. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. So, this girl said, that's okay, fine, no problem. She went back to the drawing board, and she found a way to deliver this laser method using a drug with virtually little to no side effects. See, so it was like, no problem. You know, not like, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, she had set her sights. I'm going to figure out a way. And so she had gotten all of her additional. She got $1 million more in grant money to continue, do more testing, da-da-da. And she said, you know, I need $30 million. This was what she was on for. I need $30 million to, you know, do all of the medical type studies on humans. I'm telling you, God is not going to be shut down. There are going to be people that God will work through. That's like I'm saying, I can do all things. That's not just relegated to your money and your stuff. That's helping humanity. And you say, I'm going to do this, and God's going to empower you with intellect and brightness and just show you. Here's how you do it. Dump, 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 dump. And people will go, how the heck did he figure that out? I didn't. God gave me the wisdom to know how to do it. And I believe that these principles of faith will work in every area, not just your personal life, but to help people, help humanity. I'm telling you, it's coming. I believe before the return of Christ, there's going to be things revealed in society and things that are just going to boggle the mind of those who walk in darkness. Because we walk in faith. Amen. Glory to God. The Mark 11. So here you know the story. Now remember, this is Jesus the man. Sinless, but Jesus the man. He sees a fig tree afar off, and what? He's hungry, and he does what? He cursed it. He said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And what? His disciples heard it. So again, in verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter calling to him to remembrance unto him, said, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith what? Unto them. See, they're saying, Master, look what you did. And he turns around and says what? He said, unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith, the God kind of faith, for verily what? I say unto you. So they're trying to tell him, look what you did. And he's saying, look, you could do the same thing. Do just like I did. If you'll say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So now, this, the more you meditate upon this, the more you reflect on this scripture, passages of scripture, it's exciting to me. You can believe something, but it doesn't necessarily come to pass. You can believe something and say, I believe that, but it does not mean it will come to pass. What does the scripture say? It says, if you believe and don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say. So, here's the thing, and this is what we're getting down to, some practical things here. When someone believes, you've got to believe that the things that you say shall come to pass. Now, when you read this story, if you share this with most people in church will go, that sounds like magic. Most people will think, that sounds like hocus pocus or magic, or that really? I mean, you could just say something and it'll come to pass? No, you have to believe that what you're saying will come to pass. You're not just saying anything. And this is where we get, this is where we have to take a look at this. That if there's something that you need to change in your life, whether it's money, finances, job, situation, whatever it is, and you're not ready to speak to it, it's best that you don't. Because if you speak to it and you don't believe it in your heart, it won't come to pass. And if you say things that don't come to pass, it will not be good for your faith. Because the more you say things that don't come to pass, it hurts your faith. It's better to wait. Not better, it's important that if you need to change something and you desire it to change, then you get in the Word of God and feed upon it. Keep feeding. What happens? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, however long that takes. And when faith comes, when you believe that when I speak, it's going to change this, and I believe it, then that's the time to release your words. Sometimes we're so quick, I believe that, I'm not, blah, 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 and this is going to change. Okay. And then some little rough water come, and then you're saying something else. So you really didn't believe that. Could be more emotion. You get high, you know, get excited, and you want to speak something. It's best that if you're not really convinced, you know, we say faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is convinced. That means no matter what comes, no matter what you walk through, no matter what conditions you're confronted with, you're convinced that it's going to change. And that's where we have to be, that if you're not convinced, then don't release your words yet. Don't speak to it yet. Hold your peace. Feed on the Word of God and get convinced. When you're convinced, release your words. And it will change. Not only will it change, it has to change. Why does it have to change? Why does it have to change? Mark 11:23. Jesus, this is in red, right? Your Bibles have red letters. Mine has red letters. That means Jesus, he said, the words that I speak are what? Spirit and life. What does it say? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. They're not going to pass away. So if Jesus said it, it's as good as done. So that means if I believe and I don't doubt in my heart, and I believe the things, I'm convinced of the things that I'm saying, it has to come to pass. It must change. It has to. Why? It's the Word of God. It has to change. And so, just like, you know, when we hear these stories, personal stories, I remember a story, Brother Hagin, when he was alive, towards the end of his life, a lot of people didn't see the things that he did building up to, but towards the end of his life, he would say, this is what he'd say, we're going to have a one-time offering of $1 million. I believe somebody's going to give $1 million to this ministry. And he said that and confessed that for years. And then all of a sudden, somebody came with two cashier's checks for a $500,000 one-time gift. And then he upped it to $2 million. He said, I believe somebody's going to give $2 million to this ministry. And they did. One-time gift. But what they don't know is that he started at $10,000. He said, I believe somebody's going to give $10,000 to this ministry. He said it wasn't something that God told him. He just decided, I believe somebody's going to give X to the ministry. He was believing. He said that's where his faith was comfortable. That's what he could believe for. Why didn't he believe for the $1 million? His faith wasn't there. He wasn't convinced at that point. So he believed for the smaller amount. And as time went on, he got 10,000. He upped it to 20,000. Then he upped it to 50. I heard the story. He upped it to 50. Then he upped it to 100. And so he kept working his faith. What he was comfortable believing God for. And then it got to the point, I believe for $1 million. And it was just as easy for him to believe for the million as it was for the 10,000. And so that's where we are individually. We have to begin to say, okay, God, what do I need? As you say, what's my bucket list? What are the things that I'm believing God for? What can I believe God for? Because you can change that whenever you want. See? So these things, turn over to Matthew 21, this same account in Mark 11. Look at Matthew 21. And look at verse 21, Matthew 21 and verse 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto who? You. Now it says whosoever. And in Mark 11 it says, you know, I say unto you that whosoever, and so forth. But this is just very direct. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. So anybody who says, well, that was Jesus. Jesus turned around and said right here, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. He's telling them point blank right here. You can do the same thing I'm doing. He said here, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. So he's point blank right here telling them, if you do what I just did and don't doubt, but believe the things that you say, you can have it. It'll respond, right? It'll do what you say. So it's not just believe, it's not just saying it. That's what we need to understand. It's not just saying it, but it's believing in your heart and believe that what you say will come to pass. That it shall happen. So your head sometimes is going to talk to you. Just be ready for it. It's going to say, that's not possible. You're crazy. It'll never happen. But you need to be aware that your mind, where does faith come from? Faith comes from your heart. Faith comes the word of God, and faith is spiritual. Spiritual things don't come out of your head. Spiritual things come out of your spirit. And faith comes out of your spirit. So faith will cause you to have confidence. And actual, you'll be confident in what it is that you're believing. Believing comes from the heart. So you'll be convinced. That's what we're saying. So the limitation, again, is not what God can do, but what you can believe. So the limitation is not just what God can do. See, some people will say, well, that's God. No, it's not what God can do. It's what you can believe. So that's what we need to understand. So you can't leave up to him what he's left up to us to do. You can't leave it up to God and say, well, you know, sometimes, I'm going to say it this way, sometimes folks are just sitting back doing nothing with their faith and saying, well, I'm just trusting God. Whatever God wants for me, it's all right. You know, that sounds spiritual. But there's no faith in that. Because what you're doing is you're putting it off on God. Whatever's okay with God's okay with me. Whatever the will of the Lord is. Well, here's his will right here. He just said, if you speak, Somebody said, whatever the will of the Lord is. Well, the will of the Lord is that you do something. See, so you see how it's a cop-out, and most of the time those spiritual answers are they don't know anything. They don't know what the will of the Lord is. And so it's a lazy man's way of just sitting back and doing nothing and just putting the blame on God when really he's saying, you do something. You believe me. What is it that you need? What is it that you want? You believe me for that. Speak. That's what we were saying. Let the word do the work. So one thing, you know, there are things every one of us, just like Minister Joe was sharing this morning, about things that changed regarding Philippa and Jamia and their different school that they're going to. And now there, as parents, are now not responsible to pay for the school. Well, one thing, let me ask it this way. How many could use an extra $100 a week? Let's see. Let me see who doesn't have their hand up. I'm going to go see if you're sleeping. Or if you don't need it, I'm coming down and take what you don't need. So every one of us could use an extra $100 a week. Okay, so let me ask this question. Why aren't you believing God for it? Why aren't you using your faith to call in an extra $100 a week? Why not? Now, you could say, well, I didn't think to do it. Yeah, but you spend time worrying about trying to make ends meet. You spend that time trying to figure out how we're going to jockey things around so we can't go do this. We can't go on a vacation because we don't have the money. Oh, okay. So why don't you begin to call in extra money so that you can do something, as Pastor Hagen used to say, instead of saying extra, he says extra. Something extra. So, if you want to do something extra over and above what you can normally do, that's the time you use your faith. That's the time you say, you know what? Okay, let's put a list of things we'd like to do and let's start speaking them and calling them in. Some folks will say, oh, man, I don't know. Well, the only way you're going to find out is to do it. Do it. Because I'd rather be exercising my faith in peacetime rather than wartime, when it's absolutely critical now that I need extra money or I've got a problem. That's not the time to be trying to now, okay, let's get down and let's beg God for money. No. See, then you start pleading with God. That's not faith. Faith is being convinced that God wants me to prosper. I wish above all things that you what? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So we already know the will of the Lord is he wants us to prosper. And so those things, I would just say, look, just start simple. If you can't believe for $100 a week, look, I tell you, you don't even need no faith. Stop drinking coffee for a week. There's your $25. You don't need no faith for that. Well, you may need faith to not drink coffee. Some shaking heads. Yeah, I need faith for that. But you get my point. There's some easy adjustments that you could make, or no adjustments. If you made no adjustments and you just start, I believe God for extra income, and see what God does. Because once you get some faith victories in your life, once you have some faith victories, they can be applied in other areas. And so I would recommend, these are the things that, I'll share this. I remember when I first came to work at the ministry, this is a little story, when I first came to the work of the ministry, I used my faith to the degree that I was mature in using my faith. I used it most highly in the area of my health. And I walked in health, still walk in health. But I did not use it to the degree that I should in the area of finances. You know, we work hard, we make a living, and so, you know, were you working your faith? Not really to the degree that I should. And so I had worked and I had amassed a pretty good size savings account. So when I left corporate America, I had this big nest egg. So I said, hey, no problem, I'm coming. You know, I was led to come over here and work in the ministry. And, you know, I had to take a deep breath because what I was used to getting was poquito, very little bit. And so I said, well, no problem, I can live on my savings account, which I did. I lived on my savings account because what I was getting paid couldn't have paid my gas and my car. And so no problem. But I was not exercising faith. So guess what happened? After a year, I ran out of money. And then what happened? Now I'm down. Should have been doing it all along. Exercising faith. But I didn't. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, right down here, he said, believe me for an extra $100 a week. And I said, oh, I can do that. Okay, I'll do that. And so I had just been called into the office and at the ministry, and I'd been there a year, and they said, okay, we're going to raise you a certain amount of money. And so certainly wasn't much. I'm not trying to knock it, that's all they could afford. And about 2 weeks after the Lord told me to start calling in this $100, they called me back in the office again. And I said, yes. And they said, we want to give you a raise. And, you know, me, instead of saying thank you very much, praise the Lord, I said, what for? I did. I wanted to know what for. I just got a little raise. What's this for? It was almost $100 a week. See, and that's what I'm talking about. You got to first hear him, hear from God, then do what? Believe it. You got to believe it. And then what? Receive it, and then do it. And in case for me, he said, do it was what? Call in. Believe me for speak. And that's what I did. I remember like yesterday. I was going, every day, I call that $100 a week in. And that was comfortable for me. He didn't tell me to believe for $1,000 a week. He didn't tell me to believe for $2,000 a week. He said $100 a week. So, you know, whatever you're comfortable believing God for, I would suggest you start making some adjustments in your own personal life and start saying, what can I believe God for? Because that's where it starts, in the little things. I'll tell you what I do. When I'm going somewhere to park, I believe God for a parking space. And that's no joke. I do. I say, God, I believe for a parking space right in front of that store or as close as possible. What am I talking about? Constantly working your words and your faith. Things that you can believe God for in your heart. You're convinced of. If you're not, then don't release words. Don't just hold up. So really, you know, again, I think, you know, start believing God for some measurable things that you can do, believe him for, whether it's $100 a week or $1,000 a month or whatever, start calling it in. It may take a year or two to manifest, but work your words. Let the words of your mouth do the work. Let's jump over to James 2. James chapter 2. Let's look at this again. Remember, what did Jesus do in his ministry? He spoke. He got direction from the Father, and he released words. He spoke. James chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm going to read this a little bit today from a different translation. You can read along, whatever translation. This is the complete Jewish Bible. Verse 14, it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no actions to prove it? Is such faith able to save him?" Of course, the answer is no. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and someone says to him, 'Shalom, keep warm and eat hearty,' without giving him what he needs, what good does it do?" Verse 17, "Thus, faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead." So there has to be actions accompanied to or by faith. Verse 18, "But someone will say that you have faith and I have actions. Show me this faith of yours without the actions, and I will show you my faith by my actions." And verse 26, it says, "Indeed, just as the body without a spirit is dead, so too faith without actions is dead." And I'm going to read this verse, verse 26 in the New Century Version. "Just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead." That's what we were saying the other day. Let's say that. Faith that does nothing gets nothing and is worth nothing. But faith, living faith, acts upon what it believes. So when you're convinced of something, you act on it. And of course, we all would agree with that. I mean, just things that you're convinced of in the natural, people talk about it. They speak about it. It's something that's in their heart and they want to talk about it. You know, they speak or they act on it. I mean, let me ask a question. You operate in faith. Somebody tells you there's this sale at Walmart. And you go, "Oh, yes, I'm on my way." You don't even know there's a sale, but you trusted the person that told you. And you're on your way to do what? Save some money. So you did what? You had faith in someone's words. You didn't see it. You don't know it other than what they told you. And you acted upon it. That's faith. That's faith in action. And so it's the same thing here. How much more when we read the Word of God, we're to do what? Believe what the Word of God says and do what? Act on it. Receive it and then act upon it. So if there's something specific that you need, that you don't find here in chapter and verse some specific direction, then you need to get alone and quiet and get some direction from God. You need to do what? Hear from him. So those are the kind of principles you need to hear it. You need to hear from him, get direction from God. Then you need to do what? Believe it. Believe that what he said to you is true, it's accurate, it's so, and then receive it. I receive what he says. So believing has to go beyond just believing. You've got to receive it and then act upon it. Because if you believe and then not act upon it, what is that? What have we just got done saying? It's not living faith. You won't get results. You won't get any results. So the way to get results, what do we say again? Mark 11:23, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in your heart," that's faith, Faith is confident, no doubt. If you're doubting, you're not in faith. If you're frustrated, you're not in faith. If you're worrying, you're not in faith. If you're worrying about anything, you're not in faith. And every one of us can relate to that. When you're convinced of something, you have absolutely no question or worry in your mind. You're convinced. There's no shadow of doubt. So we all can relate to that. So when it's something that God has promised, there has to be that level of, I'm convinced of that. That's mine. And that spiritual force of faith is tangible. You may not have that tangible force of faith for that right now. So don't release your words in that area. It won't be good for your faith. It doesn't help your faith. So what do? If there's something that you need from this covenant, then you get in the word and get convinced. When that conviction comes, that's the time to release your words. And you won't even have to think about it. It'll just... The confidence is, I have that. It's mine now. It's mine. Whatever that is, you have it. And so that's the time to release your words. And remember the fig tree. What was affected first? Not the leaves. The leaves are like your symptoms. The unseen is what's spoken to first. And it affects the seen. Sometimes we're saying, well, I spoke to it and I'm still got pain. No. When you spoke in faith, it speaking to the unseen. It is changing. Whatever that is. And the outside, the exterior, is what changes last. What changed last? The leaves. The root withered up. It was the unseen. So don't get moved by what you see. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by the leaves. You're moved by faith. And that faith comes from the Word of God. And just keep that in mind. If you're not at that level of confidence, get in the Word of God. The confidence will come. It will come. And when it comes, it will change things. It has to. It's God's word. Hallelujah. Has to change. Go to Matthew 7. Let's look at a few other things here. Matthew 7. And look at verse 21. Matthew 7, and look at verse 21. I'll look at a few of these scriptures here. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that says, I believe your Lord, will enter into heaven. But those that what? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So just because you say, I believe he's Lord, you've got to ask him into your heart. You've got to do what he says. So you're there. Look at verse 24 through 27. These are familiar scriptures. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So we have an example here. This is Jesus speaking, that the key is not only just hearing them, but doing them. And it's steps. We have to take steps of doing. Steps of faith and doing. Steps of faith, just like Brother Hagin. If it's $50, then park your faith at $25 or $50, whatever that is. When that extra money comes in, when that extra comes in, whatever it is, you step it up. I believe God for this now. I believe God for this. I believe God for this. Get out of, if you're a business owner, get out of this, well, you know, this time of the year, and I can't, and I don't know, and, you know, this, and that. Speak words of faith. Speak words of faith. That's what pleases God. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he said it's impossible to do what? What does that mean? It's not possible to please God without faith. You can't please him. Not possible. So that's what we need to be doing, is we need to constantly be working our faith. Matthew, we're here, go over to Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. And it's a familiar story here. And look at verse 46. And this is Jesus speaking, and while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And that's why sometimes I've heard this, sometimes I feel this way, sometimes I feel that our church family, the body of Christ, I feel closer sometimes than my own family. Because Jesus is saying right here, my mother and brother and sisters were not flesh and blood. They were those that did the will of the Father. And so we're going to have to see that what pleases God is those who do what? Do the will of God. Here's another something here to look at. Let's go over to Hebrews 11 for a minute. Hebrews 11. Another little story here. Go over to verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. How would you like to have this thrown at you here? Abraham, by faith, what? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to do what? To go out into a place which he should receive after for inheritance, obeyed. He did what? So what do we say? How do we get things from God? First, you got to hear from him. That's what he did. He heard. He got some instructions. Then he did what? He believed it. He received it. And then he went and did it. What? Now, what did it say? He obeyed. He went out, not knowing. You know, let me share something. I know, I mean, I grew up in a different generation. I mean, how many were in the, grew up in a generation where your parents just said, do it just because I said so? How many grew up in that era? Don't ask me why, just do it because, I mean, I don't have to say it sharp, but just, you know what I mean? Just do it because I said so. Well, I need to understand, just do it because I said so. And what has happened a lot of times is that psychology has gotten into homes, into churches, where they say, well, you know, you got to sit down with little Johnny and explain to them why they have to do what they do. My parents didn't sit down with little Johnny. They just said, do it. Well, how come? Do it. I mean, you ever get to do it because I said so? And then what did we do? We operated in faith. We went ahead and did it, right? Yeah, there was a little fear in there too, right? But you understand my point, and a lot of times is that how are you going to explain to a four-year-old why they need to do what they need to do? You don't need to explain nothing. You need to just go tell them, do it. Because if we're going to start teaching and training faith in the home, yeah, I'm not saying you shouldn't explain things, but everything doesn't need to be explained. Everything does not need to be explained. You need to just do it because mommy or daddy said so. And what are we doing now? Are you asking God for an explanation? He says, do it. Go leave that job. Well, how come? Let me see. Do you get an answer when you get those kind of how come? No, you don't get no answer. And you get nothing until you do what? You obey. And so just like a good father, sometimes we need to just say, do it. Because we're being required as children in faith or children of God to operate in faith. We need to do the same thing. Raising our children and offspring, you just need to do it. We don't get explanations from God. Well, sometimes we do. Most times not. Because think about it. Is he going to explain to you everything? What pleases God? Faith. And faith is not knowing. Faith is, I told you to do this. Yes, sir. I'm going. I'm moving. Think about it. Everything that Abraham did after that, God told him, offer up your son Isaac. How come, Lord? Why? He just did it. And it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. And so this walk of faith that we have, there's some things that we're all learning. So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, just do it. Just do it. Whatever he tells you, just do it. Just do it, right? Let's go to John. Let's look at John. We'll look at a few of these here just for a few minutes. John. This is a familiar scripture here. John chapter 5 and verse 2. John chapter 5 and verse 2. And again, these are story after story we have accounts in the Bible that unless they did something, they didn't receive something. So you can see here, verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem the sheep by the sheep market, a pool which is called in Hebrew, the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And of course you can see here, Verse 4, an angel went down a certain season in the pool, troubled the water. And verse 5, a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been there a long time, so forth, will thou be made whole? And what happened? He said, no one here to put me into the pool. But when I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And what? Immediately the man was made whole, and he did what? He took up his bed and walked. And so he had to do something. He had to get up, he had to rise up and walk and do something. He had to do something. You can write these down. Matthew 12 and verses 9 through 13. This is the man with the withered hand. And Jesus went into the synagogue, and behold, there was a man that had his hand was withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Of course, they're trying to trick Jesus, tempt him, that they might accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if he fall into a pit on that Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, what did he do? He spoke to it. Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. So he had to, Jesus spoke to the man, and the man had to do what? Believe it. He had to receive it. And he had to do what? Stretch forth his hand. He had to do something. And you can see in all of these accounts, Mark 5, let's look at this, it's familiar, the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, because she heard of Jesus. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She said, why did she say that? Why do you think she said that? If I just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Why do you think she said that? Is something a nice thing to say? Or first of all, she heard him. She heard the covenant promises. And she was what? Convinced. Faith came. She was convinced. And she said, I got it. I believe that. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. And if you read some translations and other types of modern English language translations, it says she kept on saying. It does, you know, sometimes you can read this and it says she said, and you think it's just one and done. Some translations say she kept on saying, which is confession. It's your profession of faith. She kept on saying, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And what? Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, power, came out of him, or flowed out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And of course you can go down, verse 34, and he said unto the woman, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So he's speaking to this woman. Her faith activated the power of God. Hallelujah. And then, of course, you have John 9. You have this another account here, the man at the pool of Siloam, the blind man, John chapter 9. And verses 1 through 7, that in Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God shall be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then, of course, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he washed, and he came seeing. So Jesus released words of faith, and that man had to believe it, receive it, and then act upon it. If he hadn't gone and washed, he would not have come seeing. And let's look at one more. Of course, you have the 10 lepers. I won't jump there, but let's go to Acts 3. Let's look at Peter and John. Acts chapter 3 and verse 2. And it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them entering in to the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he spoke, and then what did they do? They released words. That man had to do what? He had to believe, so that when they reached down and picked him up, he didn't go, I can't do this. No, he did what? He lifted him up, and his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he could have sat down. He could have resisted, right? Somebody in that position could have resisted. But he didn't resist. He had to believe. There had to be faith there to receive. So you can see here that what do we need to do here? We need to, when faith comes, if your faith is not there, to exercise your faith or act upon it or speak. That's usually the first action, is speaking or releasing what you're confident of. What do we say another way? Your words, what you say, is your faith speaking. And that can be positive or negative. You hang around people long enough, and they'll talk what they're believing. They'll talk what they're confident in. And that can be positive or negative. You get around enough people that are negative-minded, all they'll talk about is negative, 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 negative. I can't do this, or, you know, I'll never have this because, and, you know, it's society, it's the government, it's this, it's my mother, it's my father, you know, whatever, they're to blame, and I'll never amount to anything. Well, they've chosen to believe that. They're convinced because they've said it so much, they believe it. So what do we have to do? If there's a deficit, I remember this person who was a Christian. He came to the church. He's still alive, a motivational speaker. His name's Bob Harrison. He said, if there's slack, there's lack. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. Excuse me. If there's lack, there's slack. If you're lacking in your life, you're slacking. Look, if I can't fit in these pants, I'm slacking something. I'm not exercising or something. So if there's lack, there's slack. What does that mean? You're not exercising your faith, which is really what we're talking about. You could be exercising your faith. You could be highly developed in one area and not developed in another area, and you're lacking because you're slacking in that area. So what we need to do is, if we do an inventory, we look at areas that we need to improve in, then what do? We say, okay, I'm setting a goal. We do it in life. We say, okay, we need to improve. Let me set a goal over here. So what do? When you set goals, you don't go and say, good, I'm going for my doctorate. You're an idiot. What do? You go through grade school, and you go through high school, then you go through college, and then you take some more college courses and your master's. So they're what? Steps. 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 So you don't get from $50 up to $1 million. See, because you don't believe it anyways. You have no confidence for that. You don't have confidence to take a doctoral program until you have confidence to walk through the steps and processes, and then you say, I can do that. I can do that. I'm prepared. I can do that now. Well, it's no different believing God for things. If you're not confident to believe him for this large thing over here, then don't. Start back here. That's why it's important to keep working your faith. If it's money you want to improve in, start with a little bit, but keep working it. Then up it, work a little bit more. Up it, work a little bit more. That's why I'm convinced every person could, with the supernatural faith of God, could be a millionaire. Easily. Easily. Could be a millionaire. But we don't, because we're not exercising faith. You may think, well, your mind will go, well, I don't know about that. Well, you chew on that a little bit. Because if your mind is having a hard time grasping that, it's because you can't see it. But faith has the power to change anything and get you anything. Think about this. God could bring $5 billion to you tomorrow. What faith is in it? None. It's not what God can do for you. It's what you can believe him to do. See, God could bring anything to you. But it's what you can believe him to do is what he will do. Isn't that true? It's true. I mean, this is how you get the benefits of God and the blessings of God. I'm convinced that if you will just start making a profession of faith and say, I believe God for prosperity. I believe God. And you start where you are. What are you comfortable doing? What can you believe God for? Not something crazy out here. We're not talking about that. If you can't believe for $100 a week, lower it. I'm telling you, this is faith, as they call it. This is what will get results. It's the same thing in your health. If you don't have confidence to change a disease in your body, please go to the doctor. Please go to the doctor. Well, there's nothing wrong with getting checkups. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. But if your confidence, and also I say this, don't put your confidence in a doctor. Put your confidence in the Word of God. Because if you put your confidence in the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, there's nothing else we can do. Where does that leave you? Where does that leave you now? It's like somebody just pulled the rug out from under you. Because now all of my trust, all my confidence was in that. That's no different than somebody who's got $10 million in the bank and you put your confidence in money. It's no different. Your confidence has to be in God, in the Word of God. That's where faith comes. So that no matter what I'm faced with in life, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we need to start. Do some inventory checking. I am convinced of it. You know, when God says, you know, that any man, I forget the scripture, I think it's over in Matthew, where he said, he will give us houses, what's that scripture? With persecutions. So God's not opposed to things. Houses, cars, as they say, extra. As long as it doesn't get in the way. I mean, it's just where we are. I mean, this is how you, as we say, faith that gets results. Faith is going to come, and when the confidence comes, but you got to set something that you desire. You've got to set some objectives. And if God doesn't tell you anything, he wants you to prosper. It's putting off on God when we don't set anything. Well, you know, we just go through life, well, whatever God wants, I'm open. No, that's not good enough. You've got to be doing something with your faith. Amen? Praise God. Praise God.